Okay, 1 John chapter 5. And it was that, it was almost, let's see, what is today's date? The 21st?
Yeah. 21st.
A year ago tomorrow is when we finished 1 John. And if you remember, it took us almost 2 years to get to 1 John. So last year it was appropriate on the last verse of chapter 5. And I decided to preach on this verse again, just because of the time of the year it is. Sometimes, even as Christians, we lose focus on this time of the year. We're too materialistic sometimes. I think all of us are guilty of this. So, 1 John chapter 5, verse 21. And I just, last year it seemed to work out perfectly that we ended 1 John with this verse and for our Christmas party. So, let's read. Little children, keep yourselves from idols. Amen. Just a simple little verse. Little children, keep yourselves from idols. Amen. But all the more appropriate for us at this time of the year, for the Christmas season. And we lose focus this time of the year. We're always really, really, really busy. But this time of the year where it's even go, 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 family's coming in town, we're leaving out of town, got to provide presents for cousin, mom, dad, uncle, sister, brother, and we lose the importance of what are we really celebrating Christmas for? What is truly important to us, and why are we celebrating Christmas? Why is it that we take time on December 25th to celebrate? And what is that real season? What is the real reason to celebrate Christmas? Are we too much focused on and what I'm going to get, what mom and dad are buying me for Christmas, or how much money I'm going to get, or what am I getting an iPod or whatever? Is that all we're concerned about? You understand what I'm saying? We seem to lose our focus even as Christians. And so the Apostle John here sums it up at the end of 1 John with telling his beloved children in the faith. He says, little children, which is technion in the Greek, and it's a term for affection as one of a spiritual father to his those who he's been discipling and teaching. So he used it as a term, as a father, my little children, my blessed ones, keep yourselves from idols. Keep yourselves from idols. In other words, the word keep, it means to like keep watch of persons or things, to keep yourself in safety or preserve yourself from something, okay? As in John 17:12, where the 11 disciples are preserved or kept safe. He says, while I was with them in the world, I kept them in your name. Those whom you have given me, I have kept, and none of them is lost except the son of perdition, that the scripture might be fulfilled. Or the case of Noah and his family. Noah and his family are kept safe, and we know obviously what they were kept safe from. So then what is it that we are to preserve or safeguard or keep ourselves from? John tells us here, from idols. All of us, we are to keep ourselves from idols. Yes, throughout the whole year we should. But even now, during the Christmas season, we must keep ourselves from idols because it's not about the presents. It's not about the materialistic things that you're going to open up on Christmas Day. It's not about how much money you're going to get from grandma or grandpa, right? That's not what it's about. Yes, those are blessings, and those can be good things, but those should not be our focus. Those should not be the priority. We should not wait all year long just because you're getting stuff, right? And if that's the case, our priorities are wrong and mixed up. We're celebrating the wrong thing, even though we should be grateful for Christ's birth every day. And for what he did, for his death on the cross, we should always have that on the forefront of our minds. That the God-man came in flesh right? Born a babe, lived a perfect life, and then suffered on the cross. That was his purpose. And if you remember, we studied that plenty going through 1 John. His purpose to come was to die on the cross for our sins. And this is what we should be thinking about all the time, and even on Christmas. This is what we celebrate and remember, that God Almighty becoming flesh, born a baby, living a life with no sin, doing nothing wrong, but doing the will of his Father. And he would come and be that perfect sacrifice for you and for me. And that so Christmas time, when we're around our family, we can look around and be thankful to our Savior that because of him, because of Christ being obedient and doing the will of God, because of him going to the cross, it was not easy for him. He knew he was going to suffer. He knew he was going to experience pain more than you and I can imagine. He knew this, and yet he fulfilled it because he wanted to give us hope and life, and so that our sins can be forgiven. Right? Is this what we celebrate? Is this why we celebrate Christmas? Yes. And so we read here, to keep ourselves from idols. What is an idol? An idol is a form or appearance, an image or representation, whether corporeal, physical nature, or imaginary, or some other thing. In classical Greek, it was used for a statue of a man or even for a concept of the mind, an imaginary deity. In the New Testament, it stands for an idol or image set up to be worshipped as a god, whether or not intended as a representative of the true God or of a false god. Okay? So, we need to remember that this even applies for us today, because, yes, we might not build some statue and then bow down to it and worship, but we can still have idols in our lives, can't we? And we should all know that. We should all know that, yes, even today, I can have idols in my life. What is it that is taking my time or my thoughts from the one true God? What is it that I do more then read my Bible or pray or focus on the important things, and that is God and his work and what he's done and what he's done in my life and how he's rescued me and how he's brought me into his kingdom. What do we learn in Titus? That we were once foolish. We were once without hope and lost. But God, remember? But God, he saved us. He saved us from our sins. He saved us from our state, which was lost and hopeless and in darkness, not knowing where we were going. And so this time of the year, we become so focused on material things, don't we? And so Christ then takes the back seat a lot of times, when he should be the sole seat. He is the seat, if you understand what I'm trying to say. He is the reason. It's not about what you're going to get. If that is your focus, then your focus is wrong. Yes, again, those things can be a blessing. Don't get me wrong. I'm not saying that they're wrong and you shouldn't be getting gifts and whatever. Those things can be a huge blessing. And they are, right? Getting a present, getting money, getting a new sweater, getting an iPod. Man, what a blessing. What a privilege to get gifts. But that should not be my focus. And if it is, guess what? If these things are more important to me than my Savior, then I have idols. Then I am worshiping these things. And this is what John is telling his readers here. He says, my little children, my precious ones, keep yourself, guard yourself, preserve yourself from idols, from things that take you away from your Savior. If it's video games, if you would rather spend 2 hours of your day playing video games than you would reading your Bible, or you know, getting a new BlackBerry cell phone, if that's the newest and latest, I don't even know, so that you can text your friends all day. How many in here text more of your friends than you do read your Bible? Don't raise your hand. That's not what I want to see. But think about that. Who in here do you spend more time texting your friends than you do reading the Word of God? And let me ask you this. Where does our strength come from? Where does our help come from? Where do we grow in the grace and knowledge of God? But through His Word. This is where we get our strength, right here in the Word of God. This is how we grow up spiritually, so that we're not babes anymore. Am I saying you can't have a cell phone? Am I saying you can't ever text your friends? Am I saying you can't ever play video games? No, that's not what I'm saying. But how much time do we spend doing these things than what we should be doing? This is our daily bread. What does that mean by daily bread? Does that mean then, is it called every other week bread? Is it? No. It's our daily bread. So then should we read it every other week? Or should we just read it on Sundays? When should we read it? Every day. Why? Because every single day that you and I wake up, we're in a war. We're in a war every single day that we wake up. Our flesh is at war with us. And so every day that you and I wake up, we're struggling with our sins, aren't we? We're being bombarded, temptations all around us, things want to take away our focus. Every single day we wake up, we are in a war. If you were in my high school class Sunday, we were talking about in 1 Peter, right? And Tim uses this a lot. You could take a pig, right, out of the pig pen, out of the mud, go and give him a bath and make that pig squeaky clean. But as soon as you let him go, where is he going to run to? Where is he going to run to? Right back to the pig pen. Because that's where he wants to be. And that's how it is with our flesh. Our flesh wants to roll around in sin because that's where its desires are fulfilled. And so every single day we wrestle with sin. We wrestle with our flesh. Our flesh wants to sin and it wants to roll around in it and get caught up all in sin. And so we're in a war. We're in a battle because we don't want to sin against our God. Do we? Do we want to sin against our God? A holy God? A righteous God? A just God? The God who has sent His only begotten Son to die for us? This God. True children do not want to sin against Him because they love Him and they know what they've been rescued from. They know that Christ suffered on the cross for their sins. And this means everything to them. They know that God becoming man means so much because it has given them hope. It's given us hope that Christ would come to this world. Remember, John went through it. People were trying to say that, no, He didn't really come in the flesh. It just appeared. It just looked like He had a physical body. And John combats that right away. No, we've seen with our eyes. Our hands have handled. We've heard. Jesus did come in the flesh. He had matter like you and I. He hurt. He was thirsty. He got hungry. Everything you and I experience in the flesh. He knows what it's like to be hungry and thirsty and weak and tired and sad because He came in the flesh and lived that perfect life, fulfilled the law because we could not. And so anything that takes away from our focus of Christ and what He's done for us, what His work on the cross, then becomes an idol. How much time do you spend watching TV? Now, I'm not saying this to condemn anyone. I'm not saying this so you go then throw away your TVs and iPods. I'm not saying you have to do that. But where is our focus throughout the whole year and not just during Christmas time? Where is our focus as Christians? God has saved you and I. He's rescued us. He's given us hope. He now calls us sons and daughters. He is our Father. What do we learn in Jude? That you and I have a common salvation. And no one can take that from us because we are preserved in Christ. He keeps us. And so you and I are brothers and sisters and we share a common salvation. We have a common faith, a common grace, and you and I can call God Almighty our Father. And that Jesus Christ is our Savior. And He died for our sins. And it doesn't matter what we've done wrong, we are forgiven. And yes, the sins that you'll do tomorrow, He is able and just to forgive you of your sins, 1 John tells us. This is what we share together. So let not materialistic things take our focus away. Anything that takes us away from Christ, takes us away from God. What is it that we're truly worshiping? What is it that we truly love? We have one great commandment. And what is it? Who can tell me what the great commandment is? Someone.
Love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, soul.
Right? Okay. Close. Okay, we know what you're saying. All your heart, soul, mind, and strength. Right? This is the great commandment. And love others as yourself. Right? So, do we love God with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength? To the point that we enjoy reading His Word. And we can't wait till the next day when we have that time to read His Word. And it's our treasure. We love just swallowing up, drinking it in because we're growing and it's given us strength. And we're learning more about Him and we're becoming more like His Son. It's a privilege, especially here in America, when we can go to Holy Hallmark and there's many Bibles on the shelves there. Where in some countries, Holy Hallmark's Bibles Plus, by the way, if you didn't know that, sounds pretty sad. We have such a privilege here. Some countries, if you're caught reading your Bible, you can be killed. And we take for granted here, all of us probably have at least 5 to 10 Bibles in our houses, don't we? As children, we should delight in the opportunity of reading His Word. Furthermore, We need to read His Word. We need to read His Word. If we don't read His Word, what happens to us? Remember, this is our spiritual bread. And so what happens if we don't eat physically? We get weak, don't we? We get weak, and then we can't work, and we can't even walk. We can't even get out of bed because we're so weak. We have no energy, no strength. Right? And so what do? We eat so that we have energy and strength to get up and do school and go to work and do your chores and play basketball or whatever. So if I don't partake of my spiritual bread, what is going to happen to me? I'm going to get weak, and no strength, and no energy. And the flesh is going to say, oh, this is what I've been waiting for. This is what happens when you're weak. And so we need our spiritual bread daily. Now, I'm not saying you have to spend 5 hours every day or even 2 hours every day, but take some time and read a paragraph and meditate upon it. Think about it. And say, God, what are you saying here? What do I need to learn here? And thank you. Thank you that I have your word here before me. This should be our focus. This should be our focus. This time of the year and throughout the rest of the year. As Tuesday morning, if the Lord wills, when you and I wake up, don't make a beeline to the tree or whatever you have in your house. Wake up and say, God, thank you for letting me have this day. Thank you for giving me breath right now. With that breath, let me glorify your name. Let me sing praises to you. And as I open my present, let me give you the glory. Let me thank you for this gift that I am receiving, because all things are from God. Let us do that Tuesday morning. Or some people do it Christmas Eve. Whenever you do it, give God the glory. And remember what Christ did for you. Remember why we celebrate Christmas. We don't celebrate Christmas just to get stuff. We celebrate Christmas because God came in the flesh. God incarnate. And His work, His life, His death, His resurrection. This is Christmas. You understand? So ask yourselves, what do you truly celebrate on Christmas Day? Do you have idols? Do you worship these materialistic things that one day will burn? They're perish. They're perishing already. Your iPods, they're going to break. Your nice phones, man, they're going to break. Got to get a new battery and all this, right? Your clothes, you get holes in your knees. All these things are perishing, and they will be no more. But Christ stands forever. Let Him be our treasure. Let Him be our all. Let us love Him with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength. And let us love each other as we ought to. He's making a point here to His people that He loves dearly here. He says, little children, keep yourself, preserve yourself from, safeguard yourself from idols. Why? Because there's only one worthy to be praised. There's only one worthy to be bowed down to, and that is God. Nothing else. Nothing else. We might not face the danger of bowing or worshiping a statue, but there is a danger of substituting other things in our affections in the place of the true living God, and devoting to them the time and the affection which are due Him. We give all our emotion and time and energy and affection to all these different things, when our energy, our time, our affection is due Him. Matthew 6:24. No one can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will be loyal to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. The Greek word for mammon is mammonos, and means wealth, the personification of riches. The comprehensive word for all kinds of possessions, earnings, gains, a designation of material value. In this verse, the Lord personifies mammon, the god of materialism. The god of materialism. So this is our danger. This is what John is trying to save here. This is why he says, keep yourself from, guard yourself against, preserve yourself from idols. Because it doesn't just have to be a statue that you're bowing down to. Anything that takes away you from the living God, your affections, your energy, your love, these things are due to God. When I go to work and I work hard every single day, why do I work hard? Why do I work hard? So that I'll look good and get lots of big raises? Is that why I work hard? Or what about when you go to school? Why do you study hard? I emphasize study hard. Why do you complete all your homework? Emphasis, complete all your homework. Why do you give your all to do the best in school? Is there a reason? So that you'll be the smartest in your class and then grow up and have a great job so you can make lots and lots of money? Why? Why do I work hard? Why do we study hard and give everything we do the best? Matthew?
Whether you eat or drink or whatever you do, you offer the glory of God.
Thank you. Whether you eat or drink or whatever you do, due to the glory of God. I wake up, if God allows me to wake up, and I go to work, and I work as hard as I can to the glory of God. He provides me with a job that I can provide for my family. So I work as hard as I can for God's glory, that people would see me working hard and praise God. If God seems then fit to bless me with a raise, praise God. You go to school and you should study the best that you can. You should give your all at school. Why? For the glory of God. Hey, did you do all your homework? Yeah, I did all my homework, Mom. And then doing it at the last minute or whatever. Take time. Study hard for the glory of God. You represent Christ. Whatever you do, do all for the glory of God. This is why you as students, all of you, should be given 100% in school. You should not be lazy in your schoolwork. You understand what I'm saying? And as you grow, and as you're a mother and a father or whatever else, whatever you do, do your best in for God. You understand? Don't be lazy in anything. Believe me. Trust me. As I was sharing in Sunday school, look, I look back when I was in school and I hang my head. I hang my head. And I have lots of regrets. And I look back and I blew it in school. I didn't pay attention. I didn't do all my homework. I was lazy. And now, because of that, you know, again, I'm grateful for my job. Don't try and misunderstand me, okay? But my point is, I've struggled in my work because I didn't do good in school. I didn't go to college. I didn't study hard. I didn't listen to the teachers. I didn't do that to the glory of God. I was in sin. And that's affected my career. You know, now I'm a 32-year-old cable dog, is what we call it. Now, don't get me wrong. I'm grateful that I have a job. Because with that job, I provide for my family through God. But do your best in school for the glory of God, but for your future. Trust me. Believe me. Yes, I know you say, oh, school is such a drag and boring and my teacher's always on my case. If you're in public school, because homeschool moms are never on your case. Okay, I'll just do it. Unless you're being disobedient, right? Okay, I'm getting off course here. I apologize. 1 Corinthians 6:9. Do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived. Neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor homosexuals, nor sodomites, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners will inherit the kingdom of God. One of these idolaters. What did it say? Hey guys, eyes up here. Eyes up here. You can sleep later. Neither fornicators nor idolaters will inherit the kingdom of God. Why? Because they were worshiping something else. All their energy, all their time, all their affection, all their love was for something else and not the one true God. Not our precious Savior whom we should bow to and will bow to. Every knee will bow to. So where is your energy? Where is your love? Where is your affection? Is it to the God-man who came as a babe and lived a perfect life and then suffered and died for our sins? Does he have your love? Does he have your affection? He should. He is worthy of it. He is due it. We are sinners. We were due the wrath of God. We were due judgment. Christ took our place. He became a man. Here you have God Almighty becoming a man. And that's even hard for us to fathom. What can we compare to that? Would that be like me becoming a cockroach or something? And that doesn't even do justice. This is God becoming a man. Living, breathing, fully God, fully man. Suffering for our sins. And now we have hope. Now we have life. In Colossians, we are told that because of idolatry and other things, the wrath of God is coming. Family, dear ones, anything that leads to the dethronement of God from the heart is idolatry. Anything that leads to the dethronement of God from the heart is idolatry. Let us keep ourselves from idols. Let us keep ourselves from idols. I just wanted to read to you a little section out of this book here. It's from John MacArthur. It's called God's Gift of Christmas. John 1:14. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we saw His glory, glory as of the only begotten from the Father, full of grace and truth. John 1:14. The birth of hope. Christmas is a time of celebration and song, goodwill and good family and friends. But it's important to remember that the source of Christmas is the saving Christ. Humanity is lost and fallen. We were separated from God, because of our sin. And our only hope of forgiveness was for someone completely innocent of any wrongdoing to take all the punishment for our crimes and sins. Such a perfect life and a perfect love were impossible for any human to achieve. So God Himself did it for us. He sent His Son from eternity into mortality, from glory into flesh, and from a throne to a manger. Ultimate hope was born in ultimate humility. Whenever you study the Gospels, you see God in every picture of Christ. He talks like God, acts like God, thinks like God, performs miracles that only God could do, teaches truth only God would teach, and responds with love, goodness, wisdom, and omniscience that only God could possess. And it all begins with the birth of the divine child. This is the immeasurable gift of Christmas. Christ, God's own Son, gave up His wealth and privilege to live as God with us, Emmanuel, that He might save His people from our sins, and that through His poverty, we might become rich. The miraculous gift of Christmas is God being born in a manger, so we can be born again in His glory. And it just talks about the book. But this is why we celebrate Christmas, as God in His flesh being born in a manger and living a perfect life. None of us could ever live a perfect life. I don't care how good of a person. I don't care how many times you feed the homeless or you know, done whatever. I don't care if you've donated $1 million to a charity. No one was ever going to be good enough to earn salvation. Even if we had 50 lifetimes to live over and over, we could not have done enough good works. We could not fulfill the law. Why? Because we're born sinners, depraved, lost, in darkness, without hope. Yet Christ comes and lives that. And then he suffers. Do we celebrate that? Do we celebrate his birth and his life and his death and his resurrection? We should celebrate all of that. Do you realize that when in this time when people were crucified on a cross, did you know that some would even die from just the scourging? The scourging was the part where you would take some sort of whip, and at the end of that whip, you would put some little jagged bone or something like that at the end of that whip. Okay? It was sharp. And so this was called scourging. And so you would get whipped with this, and that little thing would rip you open. Sometimes it would lacerate your muscles or whatever. And sometimes people died just from the scourging. Just from the scourging. Yet God, Christ, God with us, went through the beating and the mocking and the spitting and the scourging all the way to the cross. Nailed to it. Did he suffer for us? Yes. He did suffer for us. He took upon God's wrath that was due you and I. And he was crushed. He was crushed on the cross. The weight of our sins was upon his shoulders. This is Christmas. This is what we live. This is the reality. Not the things will open up on Tuesday morning. Those will perish. He is the only reason you and I have hope today. He is the only reason we can have peace today.